It is time for our In the Garden segment with Kent Neitzert from Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist. And today, right in the heart of fruit and vegetable growing season, yeah. and you've been getting a bunch of calls from folks and questions about their tomatoes.
Tomatoes are just about the time of the year when they're going to start to harvest them, and unfortunately, that's just about the time of year where some problems start showing up with people's. And generally, it's a disease called we refer to as early blight, another one called late blight. They're two different disease organisms, but they manifest themselves pretty much the same. And the cure control is about the same of it. And what happens is the plant gets usually about the time the tomatoes get baseball size or just short of starting to ripen, we start to notice the leaves at the bottom of the plant starting to turn yellow and dying and dropping off. And what happens is if you really are aware, you'll see some little brown dark spots on the leaf, and that it just starts turning yellow and getting larger and larger around that, and then pretty soon the dots and rings start to merge together and the leaf dies completely. It's a disease that we have. I don't remember it being a problem 20 years ago, but I think it's a problem that's in the soils. And one of the problems that causes it is the fact that we can't rotate crops as what you did. The lady the other day said, well, I moved my tomatoes to the other side of the garden. Well, you can probably spit from one side of her garden to the other. For most people, we just don't have that large garden that we used to have and we could rotate. So it's a disease that's in the soil, and you have to rotate out 3 or 4 years in order to make sure that the disease is completely gone. What we can do, it manifests itself with those brown patches on the leaves and yellow. Strong, healthy plants seem to be a little less susceptible than if the plant's not as healthy. We got to remember that when the tomatoes are starting to set fruit, that's a time when they really need a little bit of extra nutrients, and it's good to come in there and side dress with maybe something like 12-12-12, even a couple of times at maybe a couple 3-week intervals, so that you don't starve and stress the plant, because if it's stressed, you run into those problems a little more. As far as controlling it, it's ideal to remove the affected foliage and get rid of it. Don't put it in your compost pile. Take it out and get rid of it. Put it in the trash. Burn it. If you have staked or caged tomatoes, it's good to just remove the bottom 12 to 18 inches of foliage so we get better air circulation through it. These diseases are spores that lay on top of the leaves, and if they remain wet and moist for an extended period of time and the temperatures are correct, they germinate and they start to grow. So what we want to do is keep the leaves off that bottom area so that we get good air circulation and it stays dry. We don't want to water during late in the day so that we keep the foliage wet all night if we can keep from it. So when you water early enough in the day so the foliage has time to dry off. And in fact, we like to put the water right on the ground. Try not to splash when you hit the ground with the water and splash that up on the leaves. That brings those spores up. It's good to mulch around your plants to keep the moisture down in there. And so the other thing is, if it's a disease and we need to control it, one thing to remember with diseases, they're almost impossible to get rid of, but they're fairly easy to control. So we need to come in and spray with a fungicide on a regular basis, something that contains the chemical chlorothalonil, and that's Daconil and Bravo are a couple of examples. You can use a copper fungicide like Bordeaux Mix. Probably one of the better ones is a chemical called Mancozeb. And you need to spray, as I said, maybe every 10 days to 2 weeks, and perhaps after a rain. Just keep an eye on it, and you should be able to keep it in check.
Now, you said, so the leaves are, dropping off, but it's usually after the fruit is already set. Does that affect that fruit that's already there?
It doesn't affect the fruit. It just affects the plant. And if you remove enough of the foliage on the plant, it doesn't have the manufacturing capabilities of producing fruit now, and so the plant just dies for lack of food for it to grow on. So you need to keep that foliage nice and green and lush and growing to keep that fruit pushing out.
When if you're spraying stuff on it, then what precautions do you need to take around the fruit that's on there?
Well, you go ahead and spray, and you can't keep it off the fruit. What you need to do is check the registration label on the chemical, and it'll give you usually maybe 7 days between spray and harvest, or you know, depending upon the particular type of chemical you use. Many of these things are fairly safer in terms of human consumption of the fruit. Some people are pretty particular about not getting any pesticides at all on there. There seems to be some results that show that if we're growing tomatoes in a heavily soil that's got a lot of composted amendments to it, it seems to be of benefit, and the disease doesn't manifest itself quite as badly.
Compost like?
Just anything that you compost, your lawn debris,
okay.
Because there are microorganisms in that help break down the organic matter in there, and those microorganisms tend to have beneficial effects on the plants themselves. Some people believe that you can make a compost tea and spray on the leaves of the tree, leaves of the plant, to help as well. You just get beneficial organisms that are fighting and attacking the non-beneficial things that hit it.
A tea like cooking up the
compost?
Yeah,
well, you just steep it. You take a bucket and put a great big handful of compost in the bottom, fill it with water, and let it set for a couple of days.
Okay.
Stir it on a regular basis because you need need oxygen to those bacteria, and then you take that liquid that it looks like coffee, it's that brown stuff, and you can side dress on the ground with it, or you can spray it on the leaves.
Probably not serve it to your guests.
Well, depends on who the guest is, you know.
How soon you want to get rid of them.
Yeah. Some natural things that work. Garlic seems to work a little bit and control it. Neem oil, which is a very safe oil from the neem tree, and some seaweed extract seems to have some preventative effects on it. Now, the other thing you can do is to try and raise varieties that are resistant to these kind of diseases. And there are lots of diseases out there, and the researchers have done a lot of work in developing new varieties that are resistant to many, many diseases. Seems to be a lot of interest in the heirloom varieties, and unfortunately the heirloom varieties are probably the least resistant of any of them out there. So keep an eye on it. Every couple, 3 days, you should go out and kind of look at those plants and see that if we're starting to get some problems. If we do, as soon as you see this problem start, you need to get in and attack it.
Kent Neitzert in the garden with us this morning. If you have questions for Kent, 279-1590, that's the number to call. Didn't have to be about tomatoes, but anything. 279-1590 for Kent Neitzert in the garden.
The best way to become a better gardener is to become a more knowledgeable gardener. On Saturday, July 26th, Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist will hold their annual garden walk. The Garden Walk Open House is an opportunity to stroll through Neitzert's nearly 7 acres of display and trial gardens and talk with the experts to find out easier and better ways to garden, plus view new and unique plant materials that you might decide will look great in your own garden. The Garden Walk runs from noon till 4 p.m., so stop out on Fisk Road, 1.5 miles south of U.S. 12, and get on track to becoming a better gardener or just enjoy a lovely planting at Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist.
About a minute in front of 8 o'clock, let's head to the phone lines. Hi, go ahead with your question for Kent Neitzert in the garden.
Yeah, Kent.
Mm-hmm.
I have a peach tree,
mm-hmm.
and usually I get all kinds of peaches on
mm-hmm.
it. I don't even see any buds this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that from the cold winter we've had or what?
Bingo. You got it. I'm pretty certain that the flower buds that are on that tree in the fall, any of your trees and shrubs that bloom early in the spring, set the flower buds in the fall, and they have to go through the winter to break dormancy, and then they come out and flower first thing. And peaches were killed probably back in January and February in extended cold weather. Because I don't have a single peach on any of my trees either.
Okay.
So,
thank you very much. I just
better luck next year.
Okay.
The one thing to keep in mind, though, that don't completely neglect your trees. Peaches are susceptible to peach leaf curl, so you may want to apply some fungicide on the trees to keep the peach leaf curl under control, because it's something that persists year after year if you get it. And there are also some black cankers that get on all of the stone fruit, like peaches, cherries, plums, that you want to keep under control, because that the only control cure for that, once it appears, it shows itself on the tree, is to excise it and cut it off and get rid of it.
Okay. I have this peach trees. They're close to my pond, and this stuff I spray on it says not to be spraying, and it was windy because it could affect, it could kill your fish.
Yeah. So you just need to take an evening when it's relatively calm and spray it. It doesn't drift that far, so as long as you don't have a heavy drift. And there are some things out there. The Bordeaux mix has some copper in it, which copper is a little bit toxic to fish, but not that toxic probably that you would happen at that distances. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. So is the hope then that they'll come back next year?
Oh, yeah, we hope so. Yeah, okay. they'll set the fruit, the buds, this fall, late summer, early fall. And if the winters are not so cold that they freeze off, I think it's 2 or 3 days of sub-zero temperatures will pretty much get rid of them.
But it shouldn't have caused permanent damage.
No, it just kills those flower buds. And that's why their peaches are grown over on the west side of the state generally, because they get a buffer of temperatures from the Lake Michigan that helps to keep those really cold temperatures from happening. Generally they're up, the peach orchards are up on higher ground too. There's a place up in Grand Rapids called Peach Ridge. It's just a high piece of ground because the cold temperatures settle into the low spots in the ground, and the higher grounds get less cold temperatures. And that Lake Michigan effect, which you lost a little bit last year because the Lake Michigan froze pretty much completely over, so you don't get that warming effect of the air coming across the water. But next year, great peach crop. It's like the Detroit Lions. Yeah. Next year.
Next year.
Next year.
Hope springs eternal. So.
Yes.
All right, great. And good luck with the garden walk.
Ah, yeah, anybody that wants to, stop out Saturday at noon, and we'll do a little in the garden segment before we get started, and then go look at the grounds and answer questions and show people hopefully some easier ways and better ways of gardening.
Great. See you out there. Mm-hmm. Kent Neitzert in the garden with us this morning.